The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Go put another touchdown on the board.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
All day, just like that!
Today's real, we have to have it.
The Packers with a dagger!
To really put in the words and feel the energy, it's just different.
Four of the best QBs in the game on display this weekend with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. By the way, Patrick Mahomes still took the majority of the snaps at practice today, but is still listed as limited. More information on that coming. And we got Keyshawn Johnson and Dan Orlovsky here. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. Marcus Spears. And we begin with Adam Schefter and some breaking news as we start the show today. Just a couple of hours ago, the news came down that the Eagles are hiring Nick Sirianni as their new head coach. As reported by Adam Schefter, he's 39 years old, spent a few seasons with the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Colts. Let's get to know him just a little bit more. He's a native of Jamestown, New York. Sirianni started his coaching career at his alma mater, Mount Union, before making the jump as an assistant to the Chiefs in 2009. During his time in KC, he worked under head coaches Todd Haley and Romeo Crennel, then joined the Chargers, worked alongside head coach Mike McCoy and offensive coordinator Frank Reich. Teaming up with Reich again with the Colts since 2018, he engineered an offense that ranked 8th in points per game over that span. Let's get back to Adam. The Eagles have found their head man. What more can you tell us?
Laura, the Eagles have been in Florida here conducting interviews for the better part of the last week since they fired Doug Peterson, brought in any number of candidates, and went through them. And I think because they started a little bit late firing Doug Peterson a week after some of the other coaches got fired, they were a little bit late to the process. And again, that meant that other coaches landed other jobs elsewhere before the Eagles could have all the options that they wanted. Still had plenty of options of plenty of good candidates out there. And ultimately, in the end, I think that they felt most comfortable with Nick Sirianni, who's worked under Frank Reich in Indianapolis and knows the Philadelphia system well. Nick Sirianni is somebody who's been groomed to be a head coach, now will take over in Philadelphia. Obviously, some huge decisions that have to be made regarding the quarterbacks, Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. And I think the thinking is that they're hoping that Nick Sirianni can figure out a way to repair and save Carson Wentz rather than have to trade him away. But we'll see how that storyline shakes out. For now, the Eagles have hired a new head coach in Nick Sirianni. They're still working out the details of the contract, but he will be the man in charge.
Adam Schefter with us all show long. And Dan, you just heard what Adam said there. That it really is the most important part here. Someone who could bring Carson Wentz back to form. From what you know about Sirianni, is that going to happen here?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the ideal, outstanding hire for Carson Wentz. So I reached out to some people that might know Sirianni a little bit better than me. Said it is the absolute steal of the hiring process. Best coach I've ever been around. Incredibly detailed, great leader, has a great understanding of defenses and how to attack them. A phenomenal game planner, a fiery leader, great listener. I mean, everything that you think you want in a head coach and then someone who's got an offensive mindset. But this all comes down to Carson Wentz, right? This all comes down to, one, can they get Carson Wentz to want to stay in Philadelphia? And two, can they get him back to that 2017-2019 stretch? And so it's going to be big that they get that relationship started off the right way, communicating the right way. Don't think for one second that Nick Sirianni didn't have some conversations with Frank Reich about Carson Wentz. What's the best way to teach him? How does he handle coaching? Do you have to be hard on him? Can you be hard on him? Is he willing to accept good coaching? And so this is about Carson Wentz and Nick Sirianni going, that's the guy, and I can make him an MVP caliber player again.
So the pressure now shifts to the quarterback, right? Like, this franchise and organization has definitely made the decision that he's going to be the guy, at least for this year, and they're trying to put those pieces of the puzzle around him. What's interesting to me, though, is that after all of the things we saw transpire in Philadelphia, with Carson Wentz and the things that he was feeling, not by his own words, but he didn't defend them. And then we saw Jalen in the end of the season. And you think, like, we've had a discussion about what's the right hire. I thought Doug Peterson should have stayed on, and Dan was screaming, like, they going, it's about Carson Wentz. And I understand it from a money standpoint. Like, they are invested in Carson Wentz. So this is another part of that investment outside of the $100 million contract, outside of the fact that he had a rough season. This is another, yet another investment in the fact that they think Carson Wentz is going to be the guy for the future. This is all on Carson Wentz now.
Yeah.
Like, this, the amount of pressure that he's going to have, as we talked about, the pressure you have in Philly just got revved up another notch.
I think it's pressure on all of them. I think it's pressure on Nick, Carson Wentz, the front office, all of them. They what's interesting about this is they went and got the other guy. They didn't get the guy. They didn't get Frank Wright.
Mm-hmm.
They got somebody else. So you expected for him to coach him the same way. It's totally different when you're in that plane flying in that cockpit
right.
versus sitting back and delegating certain things. Now you become the head coach, I'm assuming the play caller,
yep.
and the quarterback coach. Even though you may not have the title as a quarterback coach, you are intimately involved with him on a day-to-day basis. Will it work out? I don't know. How are you going to handle the locker room when they turn around and they look and say, well, Jalen Hurts should be really playing, man.
You know, that's
how you going to handle that?
It's a really interesting point, Dan, because I think it's obvious. We've talked about the reasons why we're talking about Carson Wentz is because of the money that's owed to him, right?
Yes.
And that's what's top of mind for this organization and the leadership in the organization. But what if Jalen Hurts ends up really being the guy and Sirianni's in that scenario? Feels like, at least in his experience, he'd be prepared to go with whoever's best to run the offense?
Yeah, no, listen, this is not about Jalen Hurts, right? This hire was
absolutely about Carson Wentz.
100%. 100%. If Jalen Hurts goes into this offseason and into the summer and proves he's a better player than Carson Wentz, then the Eagles have a big problem. Yes, there's no question about that, because Nick Sirianni signed on to the Eagles' job in part because of Carson Wentz.
Yes. Yeah.
He doesn't take the job because, you know what, I loved Jalen Hurts coming out of Oklahoma. Could Jalen Hurts become something? We have no idea. But the number one goal for him going to Philadelphia, make no mistake about
it, is to get Carson Wentz right.
Get him balling.
Yes.
And so it has everything to do with the non-physical. He's got to go make – like, good relationship. He's also got to bring someone with him that can coach the heck out of the guy.
Yes.
This is not about being buddy buddies.
But what if it doesn't work, and all of a sudden in that locker room they're going, well,
then everybody's gone, though.
And that's going to happen fast, too. Yeah. All right, guys, we are going to get back to this because there's a lot more to talk about with it. But let's get to some more news that happened today. The Steelers have signed Dwayne Haskins to a one-year deal. Of course, the QB was released by Washington, now gets a fresh opportunity. Adam Schefter, what's the latest here?
Well, here's what happened, Laura. From the time that the Washington football team released Dwayne Haskins, I think he sat back and reflected on some of the things that he wished he could have done differently in Washington. I think he took some time to work on himself, think about what he wanted to do going forward. He had visited the Carolina Panthers. He visited today with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I don't think is accidental. Dwayne Haskins' change agents hired a man by the name of Brian Levy. Brian Levy also happens to represent Mike Tomlin. And so there's a comfort factor there that I think Brian Levy and Cedric Saunders, the agents, were comfortable in trying to make that relationship happen because they thought it would be good for Dwayne in the long run. And right now he needs to get his career back on track. What better place to do that than in Pittsburgh under Mike Tomlin's tutelage?
Yeah, it's a good point. Pittsburgh has Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph under contract next season. But important to note, the team does not have a QB signed for 2022. So keep an eye on that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. And, hey, how about this? This is just the second time in NFL history that each team playing in the conference championship round boasts a receiver with at least 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns receiving. The other, try 1998, headlined by our own Keyshawn Johnson and also featuring another familiar face around here, Randy Moss. But check out this group of 2020 receivers. We got teammates in Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, as well as Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, and Mike Evans. Key, we like to pump you up on this show. Dan and Key, tell me more.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the red zone is going to be a huge piece in this game. And the reality is that this game's got two of the best red zone wide receivers in the NFL. You're talking about Devontae Adams has been absolutely spectacular down there. And Mike Evans has been kind of step for step. And so both of those guys, weapons, you build your offense through them. They're remarkable when it comes to finding those matchups. So they both are incredibly effective down in the red zone. They just do it differently. Devontae often wins at the line of scrimmage, breaking out. Mike Evans wins with the big body, going both ways, back corner and into the slant.
Ooh, I'd have ate soup off your head, though, if you'd tried to cover me, Dan.
That was so weird. Yeah, you probably would have, honestly. Weird. Sorry, Dan. All right, the Lions have officially introduced Dan Campbell as their head coach today, and his press conference was really entertaining. Safe to say, Campbell pretty passionate about this opportunity. Take a listen.
All right. Hello, everybody. I'm excited to be here. What I'm going to have to do is make sure that I contain myself. I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. None of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language. We're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right, and we're going to stand up, and then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right, that's going to be the mentality.
Ah, bite a kneecap off. Marcus, you want to play for this guy or what?
Oh, my goodness, man. Listen, first of all, I love it. I love a non-PC type person, and that's what Dan is, man. Look, I played with Dan Campbell. Went against him in practices a lot when he was a tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. He was longer in the tooth in his career, but that's his mentality. Like, what you saw Dan Campbell say, that's the type of dude he is. That's the type of player he was. Detroit got a good one, man, when it comes to getting dudes ready. Motivation factor, knowing the game in and out, and then being a student of the game. He was a student of the game when we were playing and learned a lot about the 3-4. He used to ask me a number of questions about our defense. So don't let it fool you. That's Dan Campbell now in that interview, but don't let it fool you. He's a serious, no-nonsense type dude, going to be a good coach, and I think these dudes going to play for him because they're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, listen, it's kind of obvious, but he was asked, of course, about Matthew Stafford and trying to hold on to him today, and he was very adamant that they should.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
One of the most important questions of the week, will Patrick Mahomes be healthy enough to play in the AFC Championship game? You see footage of him here out at practice again today. This is the second straight day that has been able to be a limited participant in practice. Let's hear more from head coach Andy Reid and offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy.
Both Pat and Breland are both in the protocol. And working on a limited basis. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
Did Pat take all the starter snaps today?
The majority of them, yeah, he took them.
Obviously, I'll let Coach deal with all that, but he looks like Pat to me. So he's been great in meetings. You know, he's fun. He's energetic. So you can always count on Pat being Pat.
Man, I thought what Eric Bieniemy said there was pretty important. Here we are, Adam, just 3 days away from the Chiefs AFC Championship game against the Bills. What's the latest that you know on Mahomes?
Well, I thought that key phrase from Eric Bieniemy there, he looks like Pat to me, tells you everything that you need to know, Laura. He's still progressing through the steps of the concussion protocol here. The foot is still an issue going forward here. We'll see exactly if he's compromised on Sunday. But I think there's a belief within the organization that he's going to be out there. He wouldn't be getting the time and the practice reps if he weren't going to be out there. So I think they're proceeding as if he will be, but he still needs to go through the various steps of concussion protocol.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins and Clyde Edwards-Helaire practiced also in a limited capacity today. But, of course, not the only quarterback news. Let's get back to the Eagles.
Carson's the guy that is going to carry us.
Wentz takes the snap. He's floating it to the far side. It's intercepted.
Breaking news here on NFL Live. Jalen Hurts making his first NFL start Sunday.
There's Hurts. He's floated the football. It is caught. Touchdown.
The Philadelphia Eagles have fired Doug Peterson.
What sort of coach wants this job? You have a big question mark at the quarterback position. It's a power struggle.
Breaking news today on NFL Live is that the Eagles have hired their new head coach, and that would be Nick Sirianni coming in. He's 39 years old, spent three seasons as the Chiefs assistant coach, five seasons with the Chargers, has most recently been with the Colts for the past three seasons. Let's get Adam back in here. What more can you tell us about this hire?
Laura, the contingent of Eagles officials have been in Florida for the last week or so, going through interviews with various candidates. And again, I think the process was a little bit different than everybody expected it to be because of the fact that the Eagles got into the coaching search a week later than the other teams. They fired Doug Peterson 1 week ago. By then, most teams had done a series of interviews. The Falcons were on their way to hiring Arthur Smith. The Chargers were on their way to hiring Brandon Staley. And so the Eagles didn't have the process go exactly as they would have thought when it first set out. But in the end, they had a number of strong candidates. The Patriots offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. They had in Nick Sirianni on Tuesday. And once he went in there, he stayed down there. Was on vacation in the Florida area and obviously decided this morning to offer him the job. He now will come to Philadelphia at the age of 39. His first NFL head coaching job. And his biggest task will be to sort through and sift through the Eagles quarterback situation and decide who is the best man to quarterback that team into the future.
I love it. Hey, what a timely vacation, by the way, for Sirianni. Thanks so much, Adam. You're with us the rest of the show. We talked about this earlier, and Dan, you mentioned that you've talked to some people who said that Sirianni was the best coach they've ever worked with, they've ever played with, they've ever been around. But the key here is Carson Wentz, right? So maybe it's less to do with anybody else and most to do with Carson Wentz. You said it's a mental makeover that he needs. Yeah. What's your first approach there if you're Sirianni coming in?
Hey, where are you mentally with your own game? Do you still have the confidence that you can be the best player when you step out on the field? What did 2017 do to you and your success and all of a sudden the injury? What did 2018, what did 2019 do to you? How come you had that success in putting that team on your back and going to the playoffs? What went wrong last year? What did the drafting of Jalen Hurts do to you? Did you learn anything over those four games or five games that you were benched last season? How have you become better as a leader? What do you need to do better to get back to the player that you once showed that you could be? Like having those very direct dialogued conversations. He's got to figure out, does Carson Wentz think he could be Carson Wentz? Does he want to be the leader of that locker room? Does he want to be the guy leading that organization in that city? Because if Carson Wentz wants to, and he's learned from that, this will work. This will work. But they've got to figure out if Carson Wentz has it up here more than anything right now.
You know, Keyshawn, one of the things that we've all wondered is why has Carson Wentz not come out and said something, made a rebuttal to the fact that there have been all these reports that he doesn't want to stay, you know, with the Eagles. Obviously, they fired Doug Peterson. But what do you think about all that? The fact that Carson Wentz has stayed very silent. Now they do have a new head coach. It's very fresh. We haven't heard from him yet. But
typically, when you don't hear from a player in that situation, it's because they hope that it works out. He doesn't want to move on. Hmm. He doesn't want to devalue himself. He knew. When you're in the building as a player, you know you have an inkling that a coach may get fired, that something is going on. You know, you may not say nothing, but there's some the way people walk around, the way people move diligently. So I'm sure Carson Wentz sniffed it out, smelt it, and his agents said, "You just sit tight. Some things are going to work itself out." And now you have a coach in there, much like Dan is saying, you have that intimate conversation with Carson Wentz. But not only that, who's left in the building? I don't need to talk to Jeff O'Leary and Howie Roseman about his mindset. Is Deuce Staley around? Is somebody else in the coaching staff
Stoutland, that I'm going to read? Line coach?
Yeah, are they going to be there? So now I can ask them, on top of watching the film, I can ask them, what's wrong with Carson? What did you see?
Yeah.
To try to get him right. And that's the way you approach it. And wrap your arms around him.
Yeah.
Put your arms around him and sit down and talk to him, because he'll open up to you, because now he trusts you. Probably didn't trust Doug Peterson based on some of the things that went on in the past, but he trusts you. It's a fresh start. So now you can win that confidence, and it's a new life for him and a new beginning. And if he starts off right, it'll be his team. And if he doesn't, then it won't be.
Yeah, and so much of that, Marcus, when you think about it, does have to do with the locker room, right? And keeping that locker room behind whomever's going to be the quarterback. From that perspective, how would you look at this?
Well, I just hope he got signed for 53 guys instead of one. I mean, I understand the dynamic that Carson Wentz is, but I hope Nick understands that he has to coach an entire football team as well. Like, that responsibility falls at the feet of a head coach. Yes, a big part of his job, a big reason for this hire, is to get Carson Wentz right and get him back to what they think he can be as a player. But to Dan's point, he also has to think he can be that type of player. It's interesting to me, guys. Like, and on one hand, I understand it, because we see it in the league. We see young quarterbacks pair with the coach that for the foreseeable future or for the immediate can help this guy either become a good player. But in this case, it's to try to remind the guy that he was a good player and trying to kind of get him back. I think that's a tougher job than you coming in and having to mold. Like, take a Cliff Kingsbury and a Kyler Murray, for instance. That's an easier job. Sean McVay was an easier job because Jared Goff had not experienced success. So he was able to be molded. He was more willing to listen. And by no means am I casting any aspersions on Carson Wentz that he won't listen and won't pay attention. But from those reports, it's been talked about Carson Wentz likes to do his own thing. So I hope that he was hired for 53 guys.
Yep.
And I hope that that relationship between he and Carson can manifest itself into a good one, and it translates to on the field. That's why I started off saying all the pressure is on Carson Wentz.
Okay, so Dan, let's think about the NFC East here. Let's say that Sirianni's able to get Carson Wentz back to form. Are the Eagles a real threat? You think about the Giants and what they're doing with Daniel Jones. Washington won the NFC East this year, and where do the Eagles fit into that with the Cowboys as well?
They got a hit on the sixth pick. It's got to be an absolute bona fide rock star of a pick. So, like, if that pick comes in and he's an immediate contributor right away and that offensive line's healthy, Brandon Brooks come back, you know, and Dillard comes back and they're healthy, because it's not a dominant division. But Marcus is spot on. Like, Carson Wentz has a second life. He has a second opportunity. He doesn't have to just win the coach over now. He's going to have to win back parts of that locker room. He's got to win back people within that city. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a big burden. And the biggest thing for him right now, grow up and be an adult about the situation. That's the big challenge. Time to put your big boy pants on. It's the NFL.
That's it.
You got to think that one of the first phone calls Sirianni is going to make or already has made is to Carson Wentz, right?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Number 12 from the Green Bay Packers still has it.
Rodgers lost it. Lazard's got it. End zone touchdown.
He is in full control of this offense right now.
Aaron Rodgers has blown through everybody on his way to this NFC championship.
We're all over the NFC championship the next few minutes on NFL Live. Aaron Rodgers led the league with 48 passing touchdowns, tied with Dan Marino's 1984 mark for the fifth most in NFL history. But Tom Brady had 40 of his own. Together, they combined for the second most touchdowns in a playoff matchup in NFL history. They found
Success at an older age, too. Only Peyton Manning threw more in a season after turning 35 when he passed for an NFL record 55 touchdowns before losing Super Bowl 48 in 2013. So NFC Championship game, like I said, Packers versus Bucks in Green Bay. Key, what's the key matchup?
I think it's that offensive line for Tampa Bay. Can they protect Tom Brady, Laura, to get him the opportunity to get the football downfield to his weapons? When you think about Rashawn Gary and you think about Kenny Clark and some of the things that they've been able to do toward the end of the season, that defense has somewhat come on. Now, look, Tom Brady is one of the fastest guys to get rid of the ball out of his hands in the National Football League. Real quick trigger. But if that offensive line can't hold up, it's going to be a long day in cold Lambeau. You know how I feel about that cold.
Yeah, Key, you hate the cold. That's something we really learned about you on this show. All right, listen, that's the key matchup. How about some little coordinator action from Marcus and Dan? In fact, they're putting the headset on over there. I don't know, guys. I think Dan really looks like a coordinator. Marcus looks just a little too cool to be a coordinator, to be totally honest. But, Dan, talk to me about which offensive coordinator's game plan you're paying closest attention to in this NFC Championship.
Yeah, it's going to be Matt LaFleur's in Green Bay, okay? So, Matt LaFleur, how do you go and have a better performance than you did in week six? First of all, you got to excel in the RPOs, but both ways, right? You've got to use it to help your run game and get some numbers out of there. But also, if they're going to commit those numbers to stop the run game, kick those easy throws out there. Number two, you've got to take a shot a quarter to MVS. You know, stretch this defensive secondary deep and see if you can utilize his speed. You're going to hit one. You're going to get PI on another. That could be a 50-yard each increment, 100 yards of offense for you. And then three, you have got to be great on second down. One of the issues with that week six game was way too many third and long. So you got to be really good with your game plan. Your RPOs, take your shot with MVS and see if you can hit it. And then you've got to be first down, second down, first down motivated to not get into those third and longs. Okay, big fella, try and match that. Marcus, where's your defensive game plan at?
Well, look, I'm going to put this caveat out there first. The number one thing you start with on defense is stopping the run. So I didn't list that. Number one priority, try to take away Devontae Adams. And I'm matching up Carlton Davis on him because I like the size-on-size matchup and the length. And I'm telling Carlton to be aggressive. Like, I know how his release is. I know he's good, a great route runner and can get open. But I need you to have moments in this game where you get up and you challenge Devontae Adams and take that away from Aaron Rodgers on certain plays. The second thing I want to do is get quick pressure. A lot of people talk about pressuring. I want quick pressure. Tampa Bay does it as well as anybody because of their linebacker, Devin White. Up in the middle of the pocket, force Aaron Rodgers off of his spot, and Shaq Barrett and Pierre Paul, y'all have to make sure y'all not above the quarterback where y'all can get him on the ground. And last but not least, look, man coverage so I can bring these safeties. Dan just showed you. I want Whitehead in there. I want Winfield in there. I want these guys coming off the edge. I do not want to allow Aaron Rodgers to have time to sit back, survey, and let guys uncover. I'm going to be very careful with zone when I only have four guys rushing because he's sneaky athletic and can open up plays and gut you in that manner. So I'm being aggressive. Todd Bowles said it last week against the Saints. We're going to play man-to-man. He put his guys on notice. They did a good job in that game. Got some turnovers, forced some bad inerrant passes and throws. That's the same plan I would have being the Bucs. I know Aaron Rodgers can do it, but I'm not giving them time to do it.
I'm impressed. I actually want to go play a game right now after hearing all that stuff. I think the matchup that you point out with Devontae and being physical is smart. The pressure, make us think on offense, right? Like, make us communicate with all those different pressures. You can try and stop our run. That's why we got to be great in our RPOs. What I'm trying to figure out is, are you yelling at you for poor effort here? Like, are you yelling at you for not getting off the ball or something? Like, is that an effort thing for you? Are you yelling at yourself?
I'm yelling at you for only putting pepper on your food. That's what I'm yelling at you.
I'm thinking if I just take this picture of me and just put Sean McVay's head somewhere near it, that I'll get a head coach offer in the next week as well.
Hey, let me just say
no doubt.
Dan, how long until you make that headset pick your profile pick on Twitter? Like, that's going to happen in about 5 seconds. So tune into Dan's Twitter to see it happen, and I'm definitely right on that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ahead of Championship Sunday, some crucial injury updates. Adam Schefter, let's start with Antonio Brown.
Lord didn't practice today, didn't practice yesterday. Bruce Arians, the Buccaneers head coach, said Antonio Brown is going to be a game-time decision with the knee injury he suffered last week against New Orleans. Doesn't think he has to practice to be out there, but clearly, even if he were out there, he would not be at full strength. Not an encouraging sign that he wasn't out there again today. As for Vita Vea, the Buccaneers' powerful defensive tackle, he was moving around pretty good today, according to Bruce Arians. When he was full speed, Vita was activated from IR this week after suffering a fractured ankle in week 5 versus the Bears. Was not listed on the Bucs injury report. Looks like he's on track to play in Sunday's NFC Championship game. Patrick Mahomes was a limited participant in practice today. Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, said he looked like Pat to him. That's a good sign for his availability. He still is in concussion protocol, however, still needs to pass through it and still is dealing with a foot injury as well. So there are some issues, but it certainly seems like he is on track to be able to play Sunday.
Yeah, the foot injury kind of getting lost in the shuffle, so to speak, but something to keep an eye on either way with Patrick Mahomes. Thanks, Adam. Okay, we did the NFC Championship. Now it's time for the AFC Championship game featuring the Chiefs and the Bills. Key, give us the key matchup.
I think it's the Bills secondary, starting with Tre'Davious White. When you look at that matchup before, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs obviously got the best of the Buffalo Bills, but it's not about Tyreek Hill. It's about all the receivers. It's about Mecole Hardman. It's about DeMarcus Robinson, and along with Kelce. It's about all those guys, because you got to pick and choose. If you decide to put White on somebody, who's Josh Norman going to guard? And you know Eric Bieniemy likes to move guys around, put them in different spots. They're not going to be stationary where you can pick and choose who you want. You got to find them. And I think that's going to be the key. If you put Tre'Davious White on Tyreek Hill, what are you going to do with Hartman? Mecole.
Hey, you know, Tre'Davious.
I said it 50 times.
Yeah, you did. You got it. Tre'Davious White was one of the first guys that came in with Sean McDermott. He's got so much to prove. Would love to absolutely be a dominant part of this game. You know what I mean? I think he's got a lot to prove. How do you think Mahomes' health plays into this thing?
Well, I'm not so much worried about the concussion. I'm more worried about the toe.
Yeah.
The planting and driving and throwing. And we know he likes to move around in the pocket at times, take off, not necessarily run, but take off, pick up extra yardage. But at the same time, he likes to look down the field when he scrambles around, throw the ball. How would that toe respond to it? You know, clearly the concussion symptoms or whatever that was, he's on the field, so I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
It's all pointing towards him playing on Sunday.
Yeah, Dan's dealt with a similar injury. He told us earlier this week they'll put the steel plate in a bigger shoe and they'll try to get that thing feeling as good as possible ahead of the game. All right, Dan, you're putting the headset back on. So is Marcus Spears. Tell me, what are you paying attention to when it comes to offensive game plans in this one?
Yeah, we're going to be the Bills Mafia offense. How do you play well enough on offense to knock off the Giant, right? What do you have to do? First of all, we know the run game is struggling. Give me six designed quarterback runs. Doesn't just have to be in situational football either. Josh Allen, big enough guy. Use that to get maybe 30 or 40 yards on the ground if they're going to play two high safeties. Number two, Josh Allen, work low to high in your progressions. So often quarterbacks just constantly want to push the ball downfield. If they're going to play man, get those crossers going. And if they're going to play zone, get the ball out of your hands to Singletary or Beasley. Let those guys catch and run. And then three, when the moments present themselves and Kansas City is going to play their man coverage, whether it's zero blitz where everyone's coming or just straight up one safety middle field man, get 14 inside. Bring Stephon Diggs inside and let him work. Give him those two-way goes. Look, he's number two in the slot right now. The release to swim off that defender, push vertical, then stretch across the side. That gives him the whole field to work with. Josh Allen has a tremendous amount of comfort throwing that football on that crossing route with Stephon Diggs. But you can't get there unless you do those first two things. Now, that offense, you've got to be very specific and understand that you're going to have to create explosive plays. But this is all a process. Now, this is what happened. Last segment, me and Marcus, we were like this. And I beat him up, right? But now, big fella, you brought me onto your staff. We're the same team. I see you got the headset, right? That's probably like Xbox or something or PlayStation. You're part of the team now. I need you to do your job. What's your defensive game plan?
Yeah, I'm going to put my defensive plan together. I got my headphones on because you're not ready to coach. I'm ready. I got stuff right by me handy. So let's go through it. And Key talked about it a little bit. Tre'Davious White, you have Tyreek Hill, period.
Okay.
This is why we paid you the amount of money we paid you in an AFC championship game. And no, I'm not expecting Tyreek Hill not to make plays, Don't let him go for 200 in the first quarter. Don't let him wreck this game so early that we don't have a chance to mount a comeback. The second thing I'm doing, I'm testing Patrick Mahomes' movement early. Mm. I'm going to find out if that toe is nice. I'm a send Poirier. I'm a send Hyde. I'm a send Milano on some blitzes. I'm going to make sure I see if Patrick Mahomes can get off the spot and create those plays that he usually creates. Based on that toe last week, I got to test it out. And then, you know, Dan, with both of these quarterbacks, but for the Bills defense, keep stuff in front of you. Make him check down and be patient. We can say that for Mahomes and Josh Allen. Make him check plays down, go up and make tackles, and allow yourself to line up again. Don't give up these 60-yard bombs, the explosive plays that can turn this game in a matter of seconds. That is going to be our plan going forward. Long, hard way, and then we're going to tighten up like a boa constrictor
Big fella,
when we in the red zone.
I love the plan, man. I feel like we got a good thing going here. Like, we put a resume together. Can I ask you a question, though? Let me ask you one question. If I'm the head coach and play call, and I come to you and you put Tre'Davious White on Tyreek Hill early and he guts us for a 30-yard on a crosser, if I come to you and say, I don't want that anymore, get away from it, what's your response?
I'm putting Poirier over the top.
Okay.
And we just going to vice you the rest of the game.
Okay. So
we can see how it's going early.
Okay. Now, so there's a secondary plan.
What I don't like is that I'm going to have to – right. What I don't like, if that is the case, I'm going to have to commit a safety to being over the top of Tyreek Hill, so it limits my ability to do the things that I want to do exotic-wise from a defensive standpoint. But I can live with that, right? And Travis Kelce may be the guy that burn you. This is the conundrum that all D coordinators got when they face the Kansas City
Chiefs. We got you, Bills Mafia. We got you.
Listen, by the way, you guys are not allowed to leave and go be coordinators. You're still on this show. Time for one more thing before we go. And this is Rob Gronkowski talking about Brady.
Yeah, he told me I was running too slow. So that's why the ball was overthrown. And I told him that, you know, he's just got to stop working out because his arms are too strong and he can't read my speed.
What a burn. Brady tells Gronk he's running too slow. And then do we really think that Brady's arm strength
I also have to stop working out because my arms are getting too strong.
Yeah, I was going to tell you,
Dan. You know, y'all was going to be 3-13 as a staff.
If we came in and Key was on our team, we'd be like, can't win with them. Can't coach him. Can't play with him.
Go ahead, Marcus.
And how you going to say that and my game plan is exactly what he talked about?
No, it's more about the offensive coordinator.
Bernie's here.
Bernie with us.
I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to talk right now, but it's so funny.
Leave Bernie alone,
hey, Bernie.
He won in the 6,000 they led in the stadium.